This morning's sermon is about why the church needs you. And I have things that I want to talk about in a little bit. And I'll lay these up here. I have a gift bag and a candle and a map. And you can understand why I could not display these earlier. And so bear with me while I prepare for this sermon. I need a good assistant to be up here instead of you looking at the back of me. But I'll go ahead and tell you not what's in those items, but what they represent. You will see in Scripture that each of us has at least one gift from God. And we also have, not only do you have a gift, but all of us are unique. And there are things that you are passionate about, that you get excited about, that just resonate with you because of who you are. And then there are things about your life history that combine with your passion, combine with your gift. When you find your place in ministry, you have really found something. And so the gift bag represents your gift. The candle represents your passion. And the map represents your life history. And at the end today, I want to point out three of our congregation that these items represent and hold them up as examples for how they have found their place in the kingdom to serve. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 1. We're going to notice here that Jesus is in his second year of ministry, and this is at the height of his popularity. And everywhere Jesus goes, crowds follow him. And Jesus has left the crowds, and he is with his apostles, and he has gone to the far side of the Sea of Galilee. And we see that crowds follow him because he's been performing miracles, and they want to see those. They're amazed by those. And so they follow him, and we see in verse 3, he goes up on a mountainside and sits down and looks. He looks up. Jesus sees this massive crowd coming. And when he sees the crowd coming, he turns to Philip. Maybe Philip was standing next to him. I don't know why he asked Philip. But Jesus asked Philip a question, and he wasn't really asking. He was testing him. And Jesus turns to Philip and says, "Hey, Philip, where do you think we ought to go get food for all these people?" Scripture tells us there were 5,000 men. And scholars say that some of those men would have their wives or wife or families with them. Many would not. And scholars estimate 6,000 to 8,000 people are coming. Some of you ladies who have had people come to your home for Thanksgiving, families come and you prepare, you worry about that. We have 6,000 to 8,000 guests coming. And Jesus turns to Philip and says, "Hey, Philip, where do you think we ought to go get food for all these people?" And you can imagine Philip calculates quickly, And Philip says, 8 months' wages. Now you think about what 8 months' wages is. Think about your yearly wage, cut it in half, and somewhere in between those two numbers. That's a lot of money. And Philip says, "Jesus, 8 months' wages would not be enough for each person to have a bite. What do you mean, where we? I can imagine Philip saying, "What do you mean, we? This is your crowd. They're coming. You're the star here. What do you mean, where are we going to get food?" And then Andrew speaks up and says, "Well, Andrew's kind of a different mindset. Philip's a realist. We're in trouble here, Jesus." And Andrew says, "Well, he's a resource guy. Well, we got a boy here. And he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. But I don't think that's going to get us far." That's Andrew's take on this. And so, this is what we have. And Jesus has the people sit down. And he prays, he gives thanks, and Jesus feeds this multitude from those 2 fish and 5 loaves. And Scripture says they ate as much as they wanted. And in verse 12, Scripture says, when they all had enough to eat. Now see, they're going to pick up leftovers. They all had, this is not a picture of gorging themselves, but understand they had as much as they wanted. And there was leftover. But that matches what we know about our God. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." Our God is a God who gives. And He doesn't shortchange us. He doesn't give us enough just to string us along. Our God loves to give. And this is a picture of that. And so verse 14, I'll run through these real quick. Verse 14, notice that after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, here's what they said. "Surely, this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Have you had a moment like that where all of a sudden it became clear and you said, "Definitely, this is true." And this multitude, this is the purpose for the miracle. This is why. Why did Jesus feed the people? Why did He conduct miracles? For moments like this, when people would look at Him and say, "He's the one. He is the one that God was going to send." This is one of the few accounts that's in all four Gospels. Feeding of these 5,000. This is a moment when a mass of people, their faith increases all at once. And who did Jesus use to conduct this miracle? He used a boy. Did Jesus need the boy's food? Jesus could have done this miracle any number of ways. Jesus could have said, "All right, everyone bow your heads." And when He's finished with the prayer, everyone looks up and in their lap is food. Jesus could have done it 1,000 different ways, but Jesus uses this boy and the food that He has brought. And so we need to understand that God doesn't need us, but He has always chosen to do His work through us. Now God doesn't need you. And that may sound bad, but God is not dependent on us. We're dependent on Him. He doesn't need you, but He's always chosen to do His work through you, through God's people. A few years ago, we decided to start putting up Christmas lights outside our house. And, we hadn't done that before, just hadn't messed with it, hadn't taken set aside that, at Christmas time, we don't have extra money laying around. And it takes a little money to purchase lights to make things look nice. But a couple years ago, we did that. And when I put them up, I had the girls help me. Now, you can understand a project like this. I didn't need their help. Okay? You can understand. I'm putting up Christmas lights, and every once in a while I turn and look at what they're doing. Do we want to redo that, or is it good? And so I didn't need them. It would have gone faster maybe without them, but it's better with them. I don't know why God chooses to use us. Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I question. Sometimes I think, "God, man, you could do a lot better if you just send us inside." But He has always chosen to do His work through His people. And so, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This is, in this passage, Ephesians 4:11, this is a passage that I've preached on before. You've heard, if you've been here a while, you've heard us teach and preach about this. There's a reason for that. This is God's model for how the church should function. This is God's design. And I just want to point something out here. That verse 11 says, "It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers." The word evangelist means proclaimer of good news. An evangelist, that word's used 3 times in Scripture, once to refer to Timothy, once to Philip, and here. It's a preacher. It's a minister. God gave some. These are church leaders. Okay, prophets. Some of these we don't have anymore. Apostles and prophets, but we do still have ministers and elders, which is a pastor. The church leaders. Our job is to help you do what God wants you to do. Church leaders' job is to help prepare. NIV says. Some versions say equip. The word prepare means complete furnishing or perfecting. Think about it for a minute. Think of a football team. What is the job of the coaching staff? That is also the job of the trainers. That is also the job of the strength and conditioning coaches. That is also the job of the doctors. That is also the job of the equipment managers. What is the job of all of those that is the same? And the answer is to prepare the players to play the game. And that's God's model. Because God has something for each of us to do. Look at Ephesians 2:8. And note, if you've ever wondered, why am I here? Sometimes people have they almost die for whatever reason, and they don't. And they give God the glory and credit, and then they know or believe that God wants me here for a reason. Why does God want us here? Why did He make you? And Scripture answers that question in verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's why. That's why God made you. He didn't just make us to worship Him. He didn't just make us to live a joyful life. He didn't just make us so He could save us or so we would love Him, but He made us to carry out His mission, to do good works. We have a purpose. If you ask any mature Christian what really excites them about being a Christian, about being alive, now ask Lee and Wanda what really excites them about being Christians in God's kingdom. And they will tell you, I see Lee and Wanda go out visiting our members on Monday nights. And they lift them up and they encourage them. And I know Lee and Wanda go home enriched by that. Ask Mary Martin why she loves being a Christian. What really adds meaning to her life? And she'll tell you, teaching our children about God. You ask Carol Golightly, have you seen Carol come to church with some little ones with her that she's brought? You think that's not the highlight of her week? Bringing children into a place like this to learn about God? You ask any Christian who's mature in the kingdom and they'll tell you, working for God is what adds meaning to my life. So the next question is, why did God make you the way He made you? Why did God make you the way He... I think all of us have questioned God and said, God, you know, I wish I was a little more this or a little more that. You know, I see this person over here. Why didn't You make me like them? I wish I was more like them. God made you like you are for a reason. At my house, my girls have three different styles of arranging their own environment, a.k.a. their own room. Liz's room is... She subscribes to the tornado philosophy, and evidently a tornado is going to come again in the future, so why clean it up? I mean, I could go in Liz's room and move things, you know, just to mess with her, and she wouldn't know it. It wouldn't make any difference. Now, Abby's room is like the hurricane that swallowed up the tornado. And I could move something in there, and she'd probably see it and be excited because she'd never seen it before. You know, she hadn't seen it so long. It's like, who put this in here? Sydney's room, if I move something in there, she'll come and call a family meeting and want to know who's been messing with my stuff. Because she has things where she wants them. And 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. You are what you are. I don't mean the things you do. I'm talking basically, generally, the person you are. The puzzle piece that you are is what it is because God made you that way. He wanted you that way. He wanted you to fit in the kingdom that way. He needed a puzzle piece like you. And you're just like He wanted you to be. And so in talking about this, Paul says the body cannot say, one part of the body can't say to another, I don't need you. We can't look around and say, you know, this person gets on my nerves. We don't really need them. Let's run them off. We need all of us, Scripture tells us. The church needs you. We have some ministries here that exist in this church because of one person. We have small groups. Raise your hand if you are in a small group or have been. Just raise your hand real quick. Look around. If you are in a group, small group, or have been. Okay. Chuck Forsythe had a vision for small groups, our previous preacher. That's why we have it. Now, there are a lot of other things that contributed, and God always gets the glory, but sometimes something comes about because one person fits. We have a prayer chain that still goes on. A prayer chain that I get emails from. I made a call to Norma this week. Norma, can you get... It was late at night. Norma, can you call the ladies and have them pray about this? And it was about Brenda and her stomach cramps coming out of her transplant. We have a prayer chain that exists because of Sherry Allen. Now, like Chuck, Sherry's in another congregation now. She's moved. But we have a prayer chain that continues because of one person, one puzzle piece. We have Bible Hour here because of one person. Diana Waller, a few years ago, said, you know what, we should have a Bible Hour. One person. We have a playground because Jack Leatherman raised his hand and said, we ought to have a playground and I'll give some money to start that process. Romans 12 also connects with 1 Corinthians 12 and just talks about the fact that we do not all have the same function. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. What does grace given us mean? It means the same thing as 1 Corinthians 12, just as he wanted them to be. You are what you are, and you can serve in God's kingdom because that's what God wanted you to do. That's how God wanted you to serve. Someone once said, diversity, not uniformity, is the mark of God's handiwork. You may have heard, a few of you have heard me tell this story, but a few years ago, my parents had a cabin on Lake Eufaula, and they would utilize to get away, and so our Stephanie and I and the girls, we were down there one weekend using that. And Dad had this Suzuki Samurai, little four-wheel drive. And I used to love driving that down on the beach, the shore, and driving it around. And so Yvette and Kevin were down there one weekend when we were there. And Kevin and I took off in the Suzuki, and we're driving on the shore of the lake. And there were large pockets of water, big puddles that had... kind of formed there next to the shore. And some of them were larger than others. And so driving through those, you know, in a four-wheel drive, that we were just having fun. Some of them were about 10 foot wide by 20 foot long. And I did that for a while, and then we went back to the house, and we were talking about that. Next thing you know, Stephanie, she wants to go, you know, play some. And so the girls jump in with her, and Stephanie drives them down there, and they go doing the same thing. And they're driving through the puddles, and then the girls pop up and say, Dad drove through it long ways. You know, she was driving through the short way. And so, you know, Steph, I mean, hey, if Dad did it long ways, well, you girls better buckle up. And so she takes through it long ways and doesn't have enough momentum, and it bogs down and gets stuck. So they come up, and she, you know, tries to get it out and come up and tell me. And so when they tell me, you know, the Suzuki's stuck, y'all know my first thought. Y'all just stay right here. I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to go get it. I'll go get it. You'll hear me driving up. Just a couple minutes, I'll be right back driving that thing up here. So I bounce off down there, you know, thinking, what a piece of cake. And I hop in that thing and fire it up, and it's stuck. I mean, like I'm about to snap something off that's not into, it's not moving. Something's about to break, and it's not going to be me breaking loose. It's not coming out. And so, you know, this is my dad's vehicle. I've got it stuck. He, you know, if y'all know my dad, he has never worn out a pair of brake pads in his life, okay? Because Dad takes it easy on equipment. And he raised a knucklehead, and I'm the opposite. And I like to, you know, see how much will this thing take before it breaks. Anyway, so I don't want to call him and say, Dad, I got this stuck. And so I'm digging it out, and the soot of this sand is compacted around the tires, and I'm trying to, you know, break it loose with my hands under the water, and I'm messing with this. We wind up messing with it 4 hours. Finally, I go and get the soccer van that we had, the minivan, and I drive that thing down the trail, scratching up both sides of it, get it down there on the beach, right? And I get a tow strap of my dad's that's on his John boat that's about 50 years old and rotted and falling apart, and I get that tow strap, and it immediately snaps. Finally, we get a neighbor's, you know, somebody comes blazing by on a four-wheeler, and they loan us a strap, and sure enough, the soccer van pulls out the Suzuki. I'm so proud of my van. And as we're leaving, we drive up the road, and in the front yard of my neighbor of the neighbor's house is nothing other than a tractor. I mean, not way back, you know, falling apart. I mean, sitting out in the yard proudly, just waiting for someone to call. I could have so easily called and had them drive a tractor down for the thing it is designed to do and pull that out in a heartbeat. And there's something that you are designed to do. Ephesians 2:8, or look, skip down with me, verse 10, says, "We are God's workmanship." The word workmanship means, New Living translates it, masterpiece. And that's an accurate translation. You are God's masterpiece. David knew that. He said in Psalm 139, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." This isn't about us worshiping ourselves. Look at how great I am. It's not that. It's the fact that God has chosen to do His work through you, and you are capable and you are able to do something unique that only you can do the way that you would do it. The three items I have up here, I have a gift. This represents a person in our congregation who has a gift, and this particular gift is service. They have the gift of service, and they have a passion for small groups. Small groups happen to be a passion of this person. They are in a group right now. They love small groups and benefit from small groups. And then they have a life history, their background, they have the experience of being new to the congregation and not being in a group and trying to get in a small group. And this person is Rebecca Foote. And she came to me not too long ago and said, "Elliot, I'd like to do a bulletin board about our small groups and help people who are new here to be able to understand what our groups are and how to get in one and be able to get connected in a small group." And I want you to know, I've wanted a bulletin board like that, but I haven't had the person to do it. I'm telling you, Rebecca fit a piece, a hole that we had, and she had the right gift and the passion and the experience to bring it about and make it happen. Another person in our congregation, their gift is mercy. In fact, they're one of the more merciful people that I know. And they have a passion for visitors and helping visitors. That they have a heart for that. They have a passion for newcomers to the congregation. And they have a history and experience in their past or experiences where they've been seeking God and needing God and gone to visit a church. And they've walked in hanging by a thread spiritually and not knowing, what am I going to get here? Am I going to find people who know God and love God? How am I going to be received? And they have a heart for that. And that's Tom Cotting, one of our new members. And Tom has worked with me a lot recently and really taken the reins and filled in a hole. And that is our greeter ministry. We've had greeters, but Tom is now, this morning, he is over our greeter ministry. Because we just haven't had someone to fit that role, to coordinate those things. And Keith mentioned the idea of a welcome center, and Tom has ran with that. You've seen our welcome center. If you haven't, check it out. It's fit a hole in our congregation that was needed. But it's a combination of gift and passion and life experiences. And then a third person, their gift is administration. They're an organized type person, and that's how they think, and that's how they function. And they have a passion for young people and teaching young people. When this person was young, they didn't grow up in church learning about God. And they have a special heart and passion for that. And they have life experience in food service. And we have a teacher's banquet coming up that Keith and the young people are organizing, and Kevin Todd is going to lead the effort regarding the service of food for that night's banquet. And that, you know, I hold these three people up as people who they understand how they're gifted, They have a passion and a heart for something, and they have a background, life experiences, and they're all three unique, and they all three fit a hole, something that's needed. And I want you to know that they're not more unique than you are. Every one of us, whether you're serving actively in this church or whether you want to, God has made you and put you here specifically, uniquely. There's something for you. There's a puzzle piece that you fill in this church that no one else fills. And so I want to leave you with this statement. The church needs something that only you can do the way you would do it. And that's God's plan, not mine. The church needs something you can do only the way you would do it. And so let's bow with me. Let's pray about this. God, we come to your throne. We are humbled and we are honored all at the same time. Humbled that you would choose to use us and conduct your mission through us. And we're honored that you would do that. We don't always believe in ourselves, and we need to be reminded that you've created us uniquely to do good works, and that through those good works, your kingdom functions and grows and expands, and our life is enriched, and we thank you for that. We pray for each of us that you would help us find our place, help us continue to serve valiantly, help us to be active in your kingdom, to understand how uniquely you've made us and placed us. And so we pray that you do this, that you bring it about, whatever's needed. And we pray that you receive the glory. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to offer this opportunity. We'll sing a song. And if there's a need that you have, we'd love for you to come. Let us help you with it. Maybe a need for prayer, for us to lift you up in prayer. Maybe one needs to have their sins washed away and become a Christian this morning. If there's something you need, let us help you. Come as we stand and sing.
And be always pure and good. Would you walk with him?